Well, Father, we thank you so much for your word. Again, thank you for its truth. Thank you that we have it in our own language. And thank you for the revelation that your Holy Spirit can give us. That spirit of wisdom and revelation that we may know you. And Lord, as we come to you this morning, we acknowledge our complete dependence upon you. And we trust you to bring to our hearts and to bring out of this portion from your word those things that you want to say to us and to inscribe upon our hearts for this coming week, but maybe beyond that, even for this year. So we commit ourselves to you, Lord, in the full confidence that we know that you're a faithful God and an able God to transform us and to have your way with us. Amen. So Job chapter 22, and we'll read from verse 21 till the end. And I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible, 1995 edition. Yield now and be at peace with him. Thereby good will come to you. Please receive instruction from his mouth. Of course, this is the Lord's mouth. Be at peace with God. And establish his words in your heart. If you return to the Almighty, you will be restored. If you remove unrighteousness far from your tent and place your gold in the dust and the gold of Ophir among the stones of the brooks, then the Almighty will be your gold and choice silver to you. For then you will delight in the Almighty and lift up your face to God. You will pray to him and he will hear you, and you will pay your vows. You will also decree a thing, and it shall be established for you, and light will shine on your ways. When you are cast down, you will speak with confidence, and the humble person, he will save. He will deliver one who is not innocent, and he will be delivered through the cleanness of your hands. Amen. Well, friends, it's not the easiest book in the Bible to understand, is it? The book of Job. And perhaps I'm speaking to some of you who would rather not read it. And I'm speaking to others of you who would say, put up your hand and say, I haven't read it. It's arguably, in my humble opinion anyway, the most misunderstood book of the Scriptures. Maybe some of you would say that Revelation was maybe one or the other, but let's go with Job for today. And the reason partly is that Job and his three friends, Job goes through the sufferings, the three friends come alongside him and endeavour to comfort him, and they don't manage to do so. But all four of them are totally oblivious to what is really going on in the heavenly places. And friends, as we come to this year, it is easy for us to bring our tuppence worth of wisdom and counsel and perspective on things. The truth is, none of us knows exactly everything that goes on in the heavenly places. So we do need to be wise, and in some respects, instances, to keep our counsel. And let's remember that whatever opinion we have, whatever perspective we have, the chances are that there are at least a whole lot of other things that we haven't understood and don't know what's going on. So, never mind, we come to these three friends and we thank God for their desire to come alongside Job in his suffering, and that's what they managed to do. They sit with him. It's easy to think that because they don't manage to comfort him, and because they say a few things that are plainly in error, that we can actually dismiss everything that they say is irrelevant. I was listening to something during the week, and somebody who really dismissed all three friends, and in so doing, wrote off the Scriptures. But they're here in your Bible, which you're holding in your hand, some of you. They're there for us to learn from. And Eliphaz, who is speaking these words from verse 21, you can read of him at the beginning of the chapter. This is his last attempt to bring something of his counsel and God's wisdom to Job. And to tell you, in my humble opinion, you may disagree, but to show you that I think he gets the thing completely wrong at the beginning. I mean, look at verse 4. I mean, how would you like it if you were going through through some horrific things? And particularly as we know from the earlier chapters that God regarded Job as righteous. Eliphaz, verse 4. Is it because of your... verse 5, I beg your pardon. Is not your wickedness great and your iniquities without end? How about that? That's hard, isn't it? For you've taken pledges of your brothers without cause, stripped men naked, to the weary you've given no water to drink, from the hungry you've withheld bread, etc., etc. No wonder Job switches off. But at the end of the chapter, he actually comes up with some counsel that I think is we need to take note of. And I will just go through these things, bring them to you, and just be sensitive to anything of the Spirit of God bringing any of these things to you, to write them upon your heart, perhaps particularly as we go into a new year. So he starts off, yield now and be at peace with him. Let's just stop there. The chances are your Bible, if you haven't got an NASB, will say something completely different. It's a really difficult word to kind of get hold of the whole thing and sort of put it into one word. The Authorized and the version and the New King James and others say, acquaint yourselves with him and be at peace. Acquaint now yourself with God and be at peace. And really, the word has in part to do with the meaning of getting to know somebody, becoming familiar with them. And friends, for some of you, I want to urge you that this year you make this your, I don't know, your New Year's resolution, perhaps not that, but at least your goal. The Lord is saying to you, effectively, get to know God. Get to know the Lord. Acquaint yourself with him. But it has also the idea, it's not a question of sort of acquainting yourself in the sense of just once or twice, you know, you meet somebody, oh yes, you know somebody, oh yes, he's an acquaintance of mine. You know, that, when we say that, we mean, yes, I've met him a few times, I know him a little bit. This is far bigger than this. It also has the idea of living with somebody, dwelling with somebody. We've had sermons recently, haven't we, on abiding in the Lord. There's only one way that you're really going to get to know the Lord, and that is if you live with him, dwell with him, stay close to him. And it then says here, yield to him, because it also has the idea of reconciliation. The New English Translation says, reconcile yourself. Make amends with God for others of you. Maybe the Lord is saying, look, get right with me. You know, as you get to know somebody, you get to know their likes, their dislikes, and what makes them tick, what they find offensive, what they find difficult to live with. It's part of living with somebody, whether you're living with a friend or a housemate or whether you're married. And as you get to know somebody, as you get to know the Lord, you will come to know there are things about you, about your life, about your attitudes, about your heart, that actually the Lord is not pleased with. And so he's saying, reconcile yourself. More than that, you see, it's not a question of changing yourself. You can't change yourself. Only the Lord can change you. But he does say, yield yourself. So if the Spirit of God is convicting you in some way, yield yourself. Allow the Lord to have his way with you. The NIV says, submit yourselves to the Lord. Friends, these things, these principles, we need to take with us right throughout this year. And I love the English Standard Version. The ESV says, agree with him. Just agree with God. Lord, you're right, I'm wrong. I'm willing to change. Are you willing to change, friend? Acquaint yourself with the Lord. This is what this version is saying. And just one other thing. Well, two other things. It also has the idea of coming to cherish. I think that's lovely. You know, as you get to know the Lord, you will come to cherish him. I mean, isn't this true in a marriage relationship? Or it should be. Isn't it true of a good, long-term friendship? As you get to know the person, you really do begin to cherish them. To cherish them. And it can also become, it also means, it has the idea of being useful or profitable. Friend, there's only one way that as a church we will be useful to the Lord this year, and that is if we really do get to know him. Acquaint yourself. This is Eliphaz's counsel to Job. It's misplaced, but it's good counsel. You understand it? I hope. Acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. This is the only way that you and I are going to know peace during this year, is if we get to know the Lord, if we dwell with him and stay close to him. Thereby good shall come to you. This year, do you want good to come to you? Do you want the Lord to bless you? Do you want the Lord to prosper you? This is the way through for it, friends. And then he says this, receive, next verse, receive, I pray you, the law from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. Well, there are many scriptures that say very similar things, notably in the book of Proverbs. So, for example, Proverbs chapter 7 begins like this. My son, keep my words, lay up my commandments with you, keep my commandments and live. Bind them upon your fingers, write them upon the table of your heart, and so on. How are you going to get to know the Lord, as it says in verse 21? Only by doing verse 22. So, rather than just read through the things, read through these words rather superficially, skimming through them, let's just dwell on them for a little bit. It says, receive, I pray you, the law from his mouth. Friend, there's only one way you're going to receive the law of God at his mouth, and that is if you've heard it in the first place. And the only way you're going to hear it in the first place is if you put yourself in a place where you are able to hear his voice. Put it another way, if you don't have any time with the Lord, if your Bible is a closed book, or in your hearing or your reading, let's include that, you are distracted by 101 other things, you are definitely not going to receive the law of his mouth. Friends, you need to sit yourself, as it were, at his feet and learn from him. Isn't this what Martha did? Put everything to one side this year, at certain times of the day, once at least. And put yourself in that place where the Lord can speak to you, where he has your undivided attention. It's the essence of discipleship, and it's certainly the essence of prophecy. And then when the Lord speaks to you, he says, receive it. You're not going to receive it unless you've heard it. Receive the law from his mouth. You may find that tricky. Some people are well up for receiving the promises, but when it comes to the law, that's not so easy. By law, we're not talking about laws, rules and regulations. We're talking about instruction. The Bible word for law means instruction. Let the Lord instruct you and receive that word from his mouth. Friends, the Lord is wanting to speak to you. The Lord is wanting to teach you. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the internet. Oh no, he doesn't say that, does he? Don't just listen to your favourite preachers. Please. hear it directly from his mouth. There's nothing like it. And lay up his words. That needs then to proceed into laying up his word in your heart. Keep it there. Memorize it. Go on meditating on it. Think on it often. That's the way, really, to keep the word of God, to keep that relationship with the Lord fresh and alive. And then Eliphaz says this to Job. Now, these words here in verse 23, I'm not a biblical scholar. I just know that most other versions depart from the authorized version on this. So I would just be careful about the authorized on this one. I'm going to take it from the New American Standard and other translations. It says this. There are a number of ifs here. So Job is being challenged. You and I are being challenged, I believe, to do certain things in order to know God's blessing. Let's look at them before we come to the blessings. Verse 23. And aren't you glad I didn't look at the clock before we started? Number one. If you return to the Almighty. If you return to the Almighty. That word return, it's really what the New Testament means by repentance. In part, anyway. Certainly, conversion. It means turn right around. For some of you who have never come to the Lord, you need to return to him. By nature, you have turned away from him. You've lived the whole of your life without reference to God, effectively. Despite any front that you may have put on to anybody else, your parents included. But you need to return to the Lord. For others of you, you have turned your back on the Lord for a while. For others of you, you are thinking of doing so. Oh, please don't. If you're going to know God's blessing for your life and good to come to you this year, you need to return to the Lord. This is an attitude of heart. So do that. Return to the Lord. What is that going to involve? Well, we'll come to some practicalities in a minute. But it says here, if you return to the Almighty, you will be restored. Or you will be built up. Not only restoration that we need, friends, but we need to be built up. And that's what the Lord wants to do for each one of us. And then it goes on, and then the second if you remove unrighteousness far from your tent, or if you shall put away injustice, is really, it's the word means moral evil. It's not just sin, it's something of injustice. Friends, put it away from your dwelling places. Put it away, that is, from your own life. Put it away from your home. And if you aren't responsible for the home because you're a teenager living in a home, at least put it away from your room. Put it away from your thoughts. Put it away from what you look on the internet, etc. Put away these things. Not just outside the door. Bin them. Put them far away from you. Don't let them anywhere near you. And then the next if. If, verse 24, if you place your gold in the dust, if you place your gold in the dust, the authorized says, then you shall lay up gold as dust. Well, you may not have gold, but what is the thing that you value more than anything else? Or it may be a person. What is it that's really close to your heart? I believe the Lord, it's not just Eliphaz's counsel, the Lord is saying that if we're going to know his blessing, and I said we'll come to that, we need to place that gold in the dust. Say, Lord, and dust speaks of death. Lord, I'm going to let this die. Let it go. Place it. You may not feel like it, it's an act of the will. Trust friends at the back, you're listening. Place your gold in the dust, whether it's a relationship or whether it's something. Place it in the dust. Lay it up as dust, it could be translated. Lay it up as dust. See it, that it's of no value. eternally. And if you lay up these things, the gold of Ophir, among the stones of the brooks, I'm going to read you the New English Translation on this. If you lay up the gold of Ophir as the rocks in the ravines, if you go for a walk in a ravine, you have to be careful of the rocks. So I think really what this is saying here is, see, what is most precious to you is not only worthless, but it's actually dangerous. It will cause you to stumble and trip up. So be careful. Friends, see these things from God's point of view. I'm not saying, therefore, that everything that you have, you're going to, you know, that God isn't going to bless you with those things. It's a question of your attitude. See them. Whatever is gold to you, place it. Reckon it as dust. Place it there. Because these are the things that were going to hinder your blessing and hinder you from coming to know the blessing of the Lord and to getting to know Him. Now, those are the ifs. Here are the blessings. This is what will result from these things. Then the Almighty will be your gold. Or then the Almighty will be your defence. But let's go with then the Almighty will be your gold. Friends, isn't that tremendous? You know, if you see things in a proper perspective, materially, then you will really begin to see the value of what it is to know the Lord. Then the Almighty will be your gold, and you will have plenty of silver, or the Almighty will be choice silver to you. That word for choice has the idea of strength and preeminence. The Lord will be your preeminence this year. The Lord will be your strength this year. And it goes on. Then you will delight in the Almighty. Then you will have your delight in the Almighty. Psalm 37 and verse 4 gives it to us as a command. And it says this: delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. And He will give you the desires of your heart. There is the matter of, yes, delighting in the Lord. But essentially what this word means is it has the idea of being soft or pliable. So in the psalm, really, this is the psalmist saying, be soft-hearted, be tender-hearted. Let the Lord change you. Be pliable. Be as putty in His hand. Just let the Lord mould you into the person that He wants you to be. Let the Lord mould Bethel Christian Assembly into the church that He wants us to be. So do you see now, if we put away these things, going back to Job, if we return to the Lord, if we do those things, then there's a promise that kicks in, and it says, then the Almighty will be your gold, choice silver to you, and then you will delight. This is the way through to having a softer heart to the Lord. And you will lift up your face to God. That means you will begin to see things from His perspective. You will have a relationship with the Lord where His countenance will not only shine upon you, but you'll begin to see things as He sees things. You'll begin to appreciate how God looks at things. How well do you know the Lord, friend? And then verse 27. You will pray to Him and He will hear you. Do you want your prayers to be answered this year? This is the way through. These are the principles to go with in this portion of God's word. Actually, when it says you shall make your prayer to Him, literally it's you shall burn incense to Him, the incense of worship particularly. So this is the way, not only to pray, rather small, superficial prayers. This is saying this is the way through for costly worship, for costly intercession that God really is pleased with. If you want this year, I don't know what your New Year's goals are spiritually, but if one of them is that you want to have a more effective prayer life, this is the way through to it. You want to be able to bear the cost of bringing something of this kind of prayer. Then this is the way through. You shall make your prayer to him, and he shall hear you, and you shall pay your vows. Making a vow to the Lord is something that is good to do. There are plenty of scriptures that advise against caution. But how are we going to fulfill the promises that we made to the Lord? This is the only way we can do it. If we return to him and all the things we've been looking at from verse 21. He will hear you. You will pay your vows. More than that, that as you pray, part of prayer is that the way that the Lord leads you, and certainly corporately the way that the Lord can lead a group of his people, is that it says you will also decree a thing and it will be established. There was some years ago, I have to say, when somebody in the at a Sunday morning meeting here at Bethel Christian Assembly brought this verse. It may not have been a Sunday, it may have been another occasion, I can't remember, but it's certainly a Bethel meeting. And he brought this scripture as if, you know, part of our inheritance in Christ is that we can decree something and it will be established. Friends, I was uncomfortable then and I'm uncomfortable having to tell it to you now. This verse is sort of cherry-picked by some to mean that whatever we say, it will be established to us. Friends, that is not the case. A, because first of all, it's not true, but secondly, because it's a mishandling of the word. You have to take verse 28 in the context of everything that we've been looking at from verse 21. But it is certainly part of the inheritance of the people of God, that in our prayer, as we bring our costly prayer, that the Lord can say, I am going to use you to rule with me in a situation. There was a situation I heard about yesterday when somebody had a very high fever, and this person had been praying, and the Lord gave her the authority to rebuke that fever. That's what the Lord Jesus did with fevers. He rebuked them. Within half an hour, that temperature was down. Praise the Lord. Well, that may be a very small example, but friends, what does the Lord want to decree? See, when the Lord answers our prayers, he sometimes does it totally separately from us, but sometimes he wants to involve us. This is what ruling with Christ involves. But we have to learn to rule with him. It's not a question of throwing our weight around. Our authority in Christ is not carte blanche for us to do whatever we want or to say whatever we want. We have to work with him. You will also decree a thing. Why? Because you've come to understand what the Lord wants. You will also decree a thing, and it will be established. And light, the light shall shine upon your ways. I've got a scripture here in my margin. Psalm 97 verse 11 reads as follows. Light is sown for the righteous. Aren't you encouraged by the scripture today that Max brought to us at the start of our worship? You know, we may go through dark times, but we can trust in the Lord. For the righteous, even in the darkness, light can be shown. You may not know the way ahead at various times during this year, but the word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light to our hearts. Isn't it? Well, it is. That's what it says. And light is sown for the righteous. Friends, really, all I'm saying to you is be righteous. If you're in that place with the Lord of being righteous, light will shine to you during this year. And gladness for the upright in heart. Isn't that good? So you're not going to be miserable with your light. You're going to rejoice. Light will shine on your ways, says Job. Says Eliphaz, rather, to Job. And putting it another way, Isaiah 58 says this, that if we are righteous, it's in the context of the fasting that the Lord is looking for, and I'm really putting it in the context of what we're looking at in Job. If you do these things, let's read from verse 8, then your light shall break forth as the morning, and your health shall spring forth speedily. It'll have a knock-on effect on your physical well-being. Hallelujah.
Then you shall call and the Lord shall answer. That's what we've been looking at in Job. You shall cry, he shall say, here I am. If you take, here are the ifs, if you take away from yourself the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, the accusing, and if, stop speaking vanity, emptiness, if you draw out your soul to the hungry, satisfy the afflicted soul, instead of looking out for number one the whole time, look out for others, be available to the Lord to meet their needs. Then your light will rise in obscurity, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. Friends, these are tremendous promises. And they're not to be cherry-picked. If we fulfill the conditions, God's word will kick in. Light will shine on your ways. Verse 29 and verse 30. We're coming to a conclusion. Almost there. Verse 29. When you are cast down, you will speak with confidence. If you've got an authorised version, it will say something a bit different. It says, when men are cast down, then you will say, there is lifting up. And other versions also say different things as well. let's take the whole lot together and let's explain it or expound it as follows. Friends, there will be times when you and I are cast down. Or at least tempted to be. When we're going to feel depressed, when we're going to feel things are getting on top of us, and so on. But the promise of the Lord is here. There is a lifting up. God is able to lift you up. Take this encouragement to your heart. But it could also be translated as in New King James, when they cast you down. Maybe the reason for your depression is not you or your circumstances. Maybe it's because of the way that you're being treated. When they cast you down, again, God can lift you up. God can encourage you. But I think some versions say this. When men are cast down, then you shall say, there is a lifting up. There is a lifting up because of pride. So part of this is saying that if there is pride, God can expose that. And God can use you to deal with the pride in other people. Because it goes on to say in verse 29, the humble person, he will say. And verse 30, he will deliver. Now, I don't know why the authorized talks about islands here. Don't ask me why. He shall deliver the island of the innocent. In the margin, the innocent shall deliver the island. Let's park that for a minute. We might come back to it. Most translations say something like this. He will even deliver one who is not innocent. And then it finishes by saying, and he will be delivered. So what this is saying, friends, is that God is not only able to lift you up out of your discouragement. God is not only able to save you, but God is able to use you to save others. And God is able to use you to deliver people who are guilty. I think this is a tremendous encouragement. So not only do we have prayers being answered, not only do we have decreeing something, not only do we have light shining on our ways, but also we have the Lord being able to use us. Is that what you want this year? I certainly do. He will even deliver one who is not innocent, or he will deliver the guilty one, and he will be delivered by the cleanness of your hands. He's not going to be delivered by your clever words. He's not going to be delivered by your anything else other than by your own righteousness. Your availability to the Lord. Your knowing the Lord in such a way, because you've acquainted yourself with him. You're getting to know the Lord in such a way that actually you know how to help that person. Well, certainly I want to know that sort of thing a lot more. I don't know that I felt this very strongly, but the first part of the word, let's go with the Unifier's version, because that's a good version. It says, he will deliver the island of the innocent, or he will, the innocent shall deliver the island. Well, if it's part of the original language, I couldn't see it, but if it's there, there are people who are in isolation, who are in their own little island, and God can use you to reach them. And what about the country as a whole? God is looking for those whom he can use to rescue other people. Well, I don't know whether any of that has blessed you or has ministered to you, challenged you, provoked you. But may it be that this year we really do take to heart this challenge. Get to know the Lord. Not just because he is worth getting to know, but so that we can be available to him this year. Let's pray, please. Well, Lord, you know what you are saying to each of us individually, and what today or maybe over the next few days you would say to us as a church. But we do pray that you will save us from a wrong perspective. Save us from being like Job's friends, and even from being like Job himself, not seeing things clearly. Lord, we want to acknowledge that you know what you're doing, and you know what is happening in the heavenly places. And we want to praise you that you are absolutely in control of every one of our lives. And we pray that this year you will write these principles upon our hearts, that we will get to know you, that we will be in a place where we receive your words into our hearts. That where we need to return, where we need to return to you, where we need to remove certain things from our lives, please help us to do that. Where we need to esteem things that we value so highly as dust, help us to do that, we pray. And Lord, may we this year esteem you and value you above everything else. And even be in, may we be in a place where you can use us. We pray. So we do want to commit ourselves into your hands for this year. Bring us through the dark times. And Lord, may light shine upon our ways, we pray. Ask all these things so that you may be glorified. And so that we may live with you. Blessed be your name. Amen.